say yes to your way. I'll say yes. Oh, yes. Yes. Yes, Lord.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a nonprofit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers.
Unto the Lord, for He is good. Yes, He.
As a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, all of your gifts are tax deductible. So go out to our website, www.whenchristianspeak.com. God bless you.
Listen to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio. On Blog Talk Radio, iHeartRadio, Spreaker.com, all of our broadcasts are available as podcasts through SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes, Blueberry.com, Zoom.com, Stitcher.com, Lisbon.com, and BlogTalkRadio.com. To listen to our broadcast by phone, dial 646-478-0660. Again, that number is 646-478-0660. Go visit and like our Facebook page, When Christians Speak Talk Radio. Also be sure to check out Christians Against Suicide and Depression. It's a page dedicated to sharing God's love, encouragement, and hope. There are prayer warriors standing by to receive prayer requests, doing intercession for those under attack by the lie and deception of the devil. We know that the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy, but praise God, Jesus came to set the captives free.
Unto you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. Hallelujah. That was Psalm 25, verses 1 through 5 and 9 through 10. Father, we thank you for this day and we bless your holy name. Be exalted. Be exalted in this broadcast today. Do what only you can do. Let your spirit have free reign. I just submit and humble myself under your hand. Speak to us in this day. Cause our hearts to burn within us with this passion of God's love flowing in us and overflowing out of us. We thank you because it is your word that is bread. It is food. It is substance to our bodies. Hallelujah. To our minds. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. So I thank you that no weapon formed against this broadcast shall prosper. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. We will move forward in boldness and in confidence, unafraid, having full confidence and assurance in what our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus has done. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We exalt your holy name. Your name is above. Your name is the name that is above every name. Hallelujah. And we bless it. We bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. Welcome to another hour of declaring the finished work. We are beginning part four of this wonderful series, Waiting on God. I'm being reminded of all of the things that the Lord has been showing to me when he brought this to the forefront of my life in 2013, and just how significant waiting on him is for me to be able to endure and to be able to be steadfast and immovable and being and abounding in the work of the Lord to run and not become tired and walk and not become weary and to have my youth renewed because I waited on him. Amen and amen. So if you been following me, this is, I said, it's the fourth message, amen, of this series. And I'm not going to do too much of a review. I've been reviewing through the first three messages, and I would just say go back and listen to part one of the series if you haven't listened to it already, and just keep listening. You know, we have to constantly keep hearing and being reminded. Amen. Because it's so easily, with all that's going on in the world and in our busy schedules, we can just easily be distracted. So we need to be constantly hearing the word and reading the word and talking to God and just keeping that fellowship alive and vibrant in our lives. Okay, let's look at this definition to wait. I'm just going to, if you listen to my earlier messages, I gave a fuller definition, but I want today I'm going to focus on one particular aspect of the definition to wait, and that is stay where one is. To stay where one is. And when I read this, I immediately thought about the scripture in John 15. Stay where one is. It means abiding, to stay in Christ. See, while we're waiting on God, we can't be waiting on God outside of him. We've got to be in Christ, waiting on him to move on our behalf. So we have to stay in that position. John 15, verses 4 through 5, I'm going to read. I'm going to read out of the Amplified Bible and also out of the Message Bible. Out of the Amplified, it says it like this. In verse 4, it says, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit by itself without remaining in the vine, neither can you bear fruit producing evidence of your faith unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit. For otherwise, apart from me, that is, cut off from vital union with me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. Doesn't mean that you're not involved in activities and that you're not involved in some self-effort. But the value of it, it's not eternal. So it's going to fade away and evaporate. Because when we are outside of God doing what we do, it becomes nothing. Nothing. The impact becomes nothing. The Message Bible says it like this: live in me. Live in me. Make your home in me, just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by seeing, but only by being joined to the vine, you can't bear fruit unless you are joined with me. I am the vine. You are the branches. When you are joined with me and I with you, the relation, intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Amen. Abiding. Stay where one is. That's part of the definition of waiting. To stay where one is. It becomes difficult for us when we pursue this human tendency of achieving, of achievement, and usually achievement is all about us controlling. Controlling circumstance, controlling our lives, controlling the direction that we go in, the steps that we take, controlling how we plan. We assess and we judge our spiritual life, but what are we using to measure that? What are we using to measure that? Do we measure it by good works? How do we measure it by how often we go to church? Do we measure it by the volunteer services that we do within the church? How are we assessing our spiritual life? Because clearly God sees it from a different perspective. It says that man looks on the outer, but God looks on the heart of man. God is always more interested and what is going on inside your heart. You can be feeding the hungry. You can be casting out demons. You can be doing all these things that appear to be spiritual and what God is calling you to do. And yet, it is not from God. Because your heart has not changed. The life of our hearts is so important. Everything that we do has to be fueled by the love of God. If not, we're just empty, clanging cymbals. making a show of things, but not truly making a difference, because we're not doing it in love. The other tendency we have is to stay in a season that has passed, especially a season where we feel blessed. We feel that, or we feel good about that season. It's self-satisfying to us, that particular season. We like the way God is speaking in our lives. We like the way he's moving, and we want to stay there. And we resist the passing of that season. And as a result of that, it can cause us to do things to recapture something that has passed. When God is saying, I'm about to do a new thing. That has passed. That season has passed. Let me just share this moment I had. It was a counseling moment that I had with someone who's like a spiritual daughter to me. And she had gotten into a place because she started to delve into some things that appeared to be spiritual, and based on the advice or the counsel of others, she started delving into a form of spiritualism. And she ended up in a place of bondage and in a place of fear. And her desire was, and there was nothing wrong with her desire. Her desire was to hear from God the way she used to, the way he used to speak to her. She wanted to hold on to that particular season when God was trying to move her on to a new place. But the enemy is always there. He's always there with his deception. He is there to offer you something that appears to be of God, but it's not. And therefore, you end up in this place of bondage. Jesus came to set the captives free. He is all about liberty. Liberty in Christ. Amen. Amen. Waiting on God produces an elevated perspective, reminding us that we're in an elevated position. Ephesians chapter 2 says it like this. This is the English Standard Version. It says, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. The Message Bible says this way, it says, then he picked us up and set us down in highest heaven in company with Jesus, our Messiah. Now God has us where he wants us, with all the time in this world and the next, to shower grace and kindness upon us in Christ Jesus. Saving is all his idea and all his work. all we do is trust him enough to let him do it. Amen. That deserves repeating. All we do is trust him enough to let him do it. It's God's gift from start to finish. Do you hear that? It is God's gift from start to finish. So this salvation process, which is an ongoing thing, we're being redeemed daily, or we should be flowing in this redemption process daily as we are being lifted out of things that have held us captive. Salvation is ongoing. It's not a stagnant thing. It's not something that happens once. He is saving us every day in some form or another. And sometimes we're not even aware of what he's saving us from. But it is always going on. The redemption process is always going on. So we are seated in heavenly places, in this heavenly place in Christ Jesus, for a purpose. It's not just something that we read and we feel good about in the moment, but we need to really dwell on that truth of being seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's almost like I'm standing on this planet, and yet I'm also suspended in outer space. So I'm on the planet Earth and I'm in outer space at the same time. So even though we are here physically in the Earth, spiritually, we are with Christ, seated in heavenly places. And that is a position that we have. That we have the ability to see things from this perspective, from this high position. And we only get to this place by waiting on God, by resisting the temptation to take control over our lives, to allow him to do it. As it says in that message scripture, first of all, it's all his idea and it's all his work. And all we need to do is trust him enough to let him do it. That it is his gift from start to finish. His gift from start to finish. We have to learn to patiently wait. Everything that Jesus Christ has finished through the work of the cross, this is the place where we live. It defines our position in him, and it defines our position in the world. Our position in him is that we are sons of God. We are joint heirs with Christ Jesus. We're more than conquerors. We are the beloved. We are God's beloved. We are created in his image. We are like him. Our position in the world is that we are ambassadors. We are representatives of King Jesus and the kingdom of God. That's our position in the world. this smokescreen of a world that was created by the prince of this world is designed to make us believe that our position in this world is something other than being ambassadors of Christ, representatives of the King of Jesus and the Kingdom of God. It wants to define us by our worldly accomplishments, how many degrees we have, what kind of job we have, what kind of car we have, what kind of clothes we wear, what kind of house we live in, what kind of vacations we take, what kind of friends we associate with. Those are all the things that distract us from our true identity. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you for this word today. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you for the position that we have in Christ. We thank you for the position that we have in this world. You have given us dominion and authority in the earth. We are your representatives in the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Last week, I was sharing out of a list of things that I said God had purged me of and continuously is purging me of. Last week I talked about what people think. What people think about me. What people think about others. And what people think about God. This week I want to talk about another thing on my list, was my attachment to things. And what I want you to know is that arriving, well, you don't arrive, you continue to press toward that mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ. So even though I'm listing these things that the Lord is purging me of, it's like levels of purging. When you're at a certain spiritual level, you can accept the spiritual truth on that particular level, but you are to continue to go deeper and higher in truth. So this next purging is a purging of the attachment to things. We all deal with this. It's ongoing. And you have to stay aware. You can always tell by your response or your reaction just how attached you are to it. It could be your reputation. Someone slanders you or says something against you or misrepresent you. If you go crazy or have a fit about someone lying about you or trying to tear down your reputation, you are too attached. Remember, Jesus made of himself no reputation. Took on the human flesh and lived among us as a man and let go of the fact that he was God that came down in human form. And he died as a man on the cross. His blood was shed for our redemption. We can be attached to people. We can, you know, we can be attached to our friends, our family, our children, our spouses, attached to material things, our cars, our houses. And, you know, it's all so important. And as I said, attached to a worldly identity, some reputation we believe we've carved out in this world among people. Where is your treasure? What are you attached to? And you know it's going to be more than one thing, and God will continuously reveal that to you. The Holy Spirit will show you. The noun treasure means it's a quantity of precious metals, gems, or other valuable objects that you have began to accumulate or collect. Riches. The wealth. Whatever you consider valuable is your treasure. The verb treasure means to keep carefully because it's valuable to you or it's a valued item. It's something that you cherish, that you hold dear, that you place a great value on it. You have great esteem for it. You adore it. You love it dearly. You're devoted to it. You idolize it. You worship it. You think very highly of it. You preserve it and hold on to it and you keep it safe. What is that for you? Is it the things of this world? Or is it things of the kingdom? Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What are we giving our heart over to? What's your treasure? You'll find your heart attached to that. And we need to guard our hearts. We need to guard our hearts from what we treasure. We're so often disappointed. If you lose your job, you lose your house. None of that stuff is eternal things. All this stuff is transient. It's temporary. It can be here today and gone tomorrow. And if your heart is attached to it, when it's lost, it devastates you and it pulls you down under and overwhelms you. But But if you're storing up treasures in heaven, thieves cannot break into it. It doesn't deteriorate. It cannot be destroyed. And it stands forever. It's a safe place for your heart to be. It's a safe place for your heart to be. And think about this verse that immediately follows that. It says, where your focus is, what you're giving the most attention to, what you are seeing every day, verse 22, the eye is the lamp of the body. A lamp brings light. So if your eye is healthy and your whole body will be full of light, your whole being will be filled with the light of God. Because you have this elevated perspective. You know where to focus. You know what to give the most attention to. You know how to see. Every day you know how to see. The things that are before you, you know how to see rightly. That is so important. Because the opposite of not being able to see rightly causes a darkness. It causes a blindness. Where you can't see things as they really are. All the things that we so often say, oh, well, Jesus did that because, well, Jesus was God and he. We say that, we give up on these biblical truths that say that we are more than conquerors, that all of creation is waiting, groaning and travailing, waiting for the manifestation. That we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. As Jesus is, so are we in this earth. We can't live in that until we begin to live this lifestyle of waiting on God. Giving your life over completely to him and trusting that what you, when you lose your life, that's when you really gain life. We need to be able to endure in this climate, to be able to be steadfast, immovable, to be renewed. We have to wait on God to be renewed. They who wait on the Lord is renewed. Your youth is renewed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Satan is subtle with his deceptions. He knows what things will be a temptation to you. And he uses those things as triggers. He wants to control your spiritual life. He wants to control your mind and how you think. He's threatened by you. It's not the other way around. We're not threatened by him because he's a defeated foe. But he is threatened by us. And if he can deceive you into thinking that you are less than who you are, he can manipulate you and control you. He can distract you, diffuse your energy, because it's all over the place. You're scattered. You don't have that single eye, that focus. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for this word that's going forth today. Thank you that it's going forth with power. That it's going forth with your love attached to it. And your love never fails. It breaks down walls. It heals the soul. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for this miracle work that's going on right now. As the spirit of life just moves through the hearer of these words, Lord, that you're doing a great and mighty work. You're purging us of all those things that are dead and they're not fruit bearing in our lives. We thank you. We thank you for the liberty that we have in you. We thank you that we're no longer prisoners of sin, that you have set us free. No longer slaves to sin, but slaves to righteousness. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, as you just began to just move. Move in this moment. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You're not only touching us mentally, but you're touching us physically, Lord God. Because every molecule, every atom in our body is held together by your power. Hallelujah. We thank you for the recalibration that's going on right now in our lives. You're causing us to vibrate with you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us dominion over our thought life. And therefore, we have dominion over our emotions. We're not subject to them. They are subject to us, subject to our spirit man. Hallelujah. We thank you. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. That you're working everything for good in our lives. Because you have called us. You have called us and you have purposed this in our lives. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We praise you. We love you. We exalt your holy name. You alone are worthy. You alone are worthy. You alone are worthy. You alone are worthy, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your spirit of peace going forth right now in this moment. Hallelujah. A supernatural calmness coming over the hearts and minds of the listeners right now, Lord God. Hallelujah. Peace that you give, that the world cannot give and the world cannot take away. For you are the Prince of Peace, and you live in us, and we live in you. We abide. We commit to staying in you. Hallelujah. We refuse to be pulled outside of you. And we thank you. We thank you. We thank you for this eternal rest that we have in you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We know that we will not be put to shame because our trust is in you. For you are faithful. You are faithful and you are just. You're a loving God. Your mercies are new every day. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We exalt you. We bless your holy name. We exalt you. We bless your holy name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for joining me today. Glory to God for bread of life. Amen. I mean, bread of life. Ha! Glory to God. That's Reverend Ray's program, Bread of Life. But you know what? That's what we had today. Today we had the bread of life, which is Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm excited about what God is doing in the earth in this season. Amen, amen, amen. He's doing a new thing. He's doing a new thing. So, excuse me, don't forget tomorrow, Friday Night Joy with Reverend Ray, Pastor Ray Rose. Glory to God at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So God bless you. Thank you so much for being here with me today. And for those who will listen later, thank you for taking the time to be a part of this broadcast. And we're just going to continue and see what God is doing. He is really wanting us to walk in this liberty that he has purchased for us and not to be weighed down. Amen. You see, he says, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's a now word, okay? When you feel heavy laden, you know something is wrong. Because we are not meant to carry heavy burdens. So cast all your cares upon him. Because he cares for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Well, God willing, I'll be back here next Thursday, continuing with the message, Waiting on God. I'm excited about what God will be speaking to us by his Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We thank you, Lord, for this day. So go forth. Go forth. This is a new moment right here. And in this moment is a new beginning. So go forth with expectations in God. Wait on God and see his salvation. God bless you. Love you.